Over the next few days, we're going to be answering fundamental questions that define us as the people of God. These questions are important. These questions can be answered from the Scriptures. Anytime we have questions regarding spiritual matters, our attitude needs to be for what saith the Scriptures, as we see in Romans chapter 4, verse 3. Our reasoning should always come from the Word of God, because it's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps, Jeremiah 10, verse 23. You see, it doesn't matter what I think or what you think. What matters is what God thinks. In Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, again, we learn that it is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. We need God's counsel. We need His guidance. We need His instruction that we find in His Word. God says in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." This morning, as we gather together, let's have the attitude that we see in Isaiah 1, verse 18. "Oh, come, let us reason together why we believe that miracles have ceased." It is a historical and biblical fact that miracles were performed. Jesus, His apostles, and early Christians all performed miracles. In John chapter 2, verse 23, "Many believed in His name because they saw the miracles which He did." In John chapter 6, verse 2, "A great multitude followed Him because they saw the miracles which He did on them that were diseased." In John chapter 11, verse 48, the chief priests and the Pharisees said, "What do we do? This man doeth many miracles." In Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 11, we see that the apostle Peter healed a lame man who was born like that from his mother's womb. In Acts 6, verse 8, and also Acts 8, verse 6, we see that Stephen and Philip did great wonders and miracles among the people. Most people in the religious world believe that Jesus and His followers perform miracles. However, their concept of miracles is just not found in the Bible. When the Bible talks about miracles, it's speaking of extraordinary events that go beyond the scope of natural law. The wonderful things that we see in the natural world, like childbirth, or the wonders of nature, or even the amazing capacity of the human body to fight disease and illness, are not described in the Scriptures as miracles. We're talking about events that can only be attributed to a supernatural cause, like walking on water, or instantaneous healing, restoring an amputated ear, curing blindness, healing illness, healing the lame, feeding thousands, and even raising the dead. Open your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 8, down through verse 11, the Apostle Paul itemizes 9 spiritual gifts that were given to Christians. And notice how Paul begins in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit." Some Christians had the miraculous ability to reveal godly wisdom and explain its application. Paul continues in verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit. Others were miraculously strengthened to carry out God's will. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Some Christians had the miraculous ability to heal others, to heal disease and illness. Verse 10, to another, the working of miracles. This could be speaking of casting out demons or raising the dead, or even calling out divine punishment like Paul did with Elymas in Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 11. To another, Paul says, prophecy. This wasn't just the ability to tell the future or to proclaim divine truths, but also the ability to reveal the secrets of another's heart to convict them of their sin, as we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 24 and 25. To another, discerning of spirits. This could be speaking of the ability to observe an evil spirit at work, like Paul did in Acts chapter 16, verses 16 and 18. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. There were those who could speak and interpret languages that they've never learned. This wasn't incoherent babbling. What we see in these miracles, what we see in all of these spiritual gifts, is purpose. This wasn't a bunch of nonsensical events. When you look at the spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we understand that there were some specific purposes behind the gifts, one of which was to authenticate Jesus Christ as the Messiah prophesied by the Old Testament prophets. How did God make it known that Jesus Christ was the Messiah? Listen to the Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you. How? By miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as yourselves also know. How did God substantiate that Jesus was the Christ? In the Hebrew, that means the Messiah, the Anointed One. Again, by miracles, wonders, and signs. The Bible also says in John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, and many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. The miracles of Jesus proved his identity by displaying his divine power over creation. The people said in Matthew 8, verse 27, even the winds and the sea obey him. In John chapter 5, verse 36, Jesus said, the works that I do, they testify, they bear witness of me that the Father sent me. Notice another interesting context in John chapter 10. And notice the conversation that Jesus is having with the Jews. In John chapter 10, notice with me verse 24. Then again called they the man that was blind. Excuse me, John chapter 10, verse 24. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. I've told you plainly that I am the Christ, and I have proven it to you. But continue to read and drop down to verse 37. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, notice this, believe the works that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in you. The miracles of Jesus served as the credentials of his kingship. Another purpose of miracles was to confirm the preaching of God's word. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." But how would the people know that what they were hearing was the authentic gospel of Jesus Christ? Remember, they couldn't follow along in their New Testament. Therefore, God used miracles to confirm the divine origin of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 16, verse 19, after Jesus was received up into heaven and sat down on the right hand of God, the apostles went and preached the word. The Lord was working with them, confirming the word with signs following, as we see in Mark chapter 16, verse 20. Consider what the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, we ought to give earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast in every transgression and disobedience, received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first was spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard them? Notice verse 4. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and with gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. When you read verses like Mark 16, verse 20 and Hebrews 2, 3 through 4, you cannot miss the confirmatory nature of miracles. Miracles were God's confirmation of the person and the message they carried. In Acts chapter 8, verses 5 and 6, when Philip went down to Samaria to preach the gospel, the people gave heed to the things which they heard because they heard and saw the miracles which he performed. You see, these holy men of God were endued with power from on high to prove and to confirm that what they were preaching was the message of God. Paul, speaking to the brethren at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, said, "When ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe." You see, miracles confirm that this word that they were preaching wasn't the word of men, but it was the word of God. Another purpose of miracles was to edify the body of Jesus Christ. During its infancy, the church didn't have a copy of the New Testament that they would be able to carry and read and study. They couldn't consult the completed revelation of God's word like we can today. With this in mind, turn with me to the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 4, I want to read verses 8 through verse 13. Ephesians chapter 4. And notice with me beginning at verse 8. Notice what the Apostle Paul has to say. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, notice this, and gave gifts unto men. Now, verses 9 and 10, you will see a parenthetical statement, a side point that the Holy Spirit reveals. Look at verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, verse 13, till we come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, there are four things I want you to notice from this reading. First of all, in verse 8, God gave gifts unto man. The second thing I want you to notice is seen in verse 11. It appears that these gifts were coupled with some type of office. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And then in verse 13, the purpose. The purpose of the miracles was for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. But don't miss this last point in verse 13. Till we all come into the unity of faith. You see, this process was for a limited time. And we see that in verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Go back to verse 8. And look at what Paul is saying. God gave gifts unto man, verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Let's turn to another context that goes along the same lines of Ephesians chapter 4. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, as you turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, as we've already pointed out from the scriptures, Paul outlines these spiritual gifts. And then we come to chapter 13 and you see the motivation behind those gifts. The motivation behind the gifts was love. But then we come to chapter 14. In chapter 14, we see the purpose behind the gifts, which was edification of the saints. Notice with me 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. In both of these contexts, the Apostle Paul makes it abundantly clear to the Ephesians and to the Corinthians that the miraculous gifts would vanish away. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. Love never fails, but where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Notice, prophecies, tongues, knowledge are part of the spiritual gifts that Paul lists in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, prophecies, tongues, knowledge represent the spiritual gifts as a whole. We refer to this as a synecdoche. And we see synecdoches throughout the Bible, a part for the whole. Again, prophecies, tongues, knowledge all represent spiritual gifts. But notice what Paul says about prophecies, tongues, and knowledge. They shall fail, they shall cease, they shall vanish away. Notice how many times in this context Paul says that the miraculous gifts will be done away with. Continue to read with me in verse 9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. You see, the New Testament was being revealed systematically. Part by part, the faith was being delivered to the saints. Don't forget Ephesians 4, verse 13. Till we come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Look at verse 10. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. That which is perfect. The Greek word teleos helps us understand that Paul is speaking about the completed revelation of God's word. He's not talking about when Jesus Christ the perfect comes. He's talking about the revelation of God's word. You might write down James 1, verse 25, the perfect law of liberty. Now go back to verse 10 and notice what Paul is saying. When that which is perfect is come, the perfect law of liberty, then that which is in part miraculous gifts shall be done away. The fourth time, Paul says, they shall be done away. And then in verses 11 and following, Paul gives an illustration to what he's talking about. He says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, number 5, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known. As God's revelation was being revealed, things were obscure. But Paul makes it clear that once the perfect law of liberty has come, things will be clear. You see, we now have the perfect law of liberty. And God encourages us to look into the perfect law of liberty and to continue in those things, being doers of God's word and not simply hearers of God's word. You see, there is nothing that we need to know about life and godliness that cannot be found in the scriptures. According to his divine power, he had given us all things pertaining to life and godliness through knowledge. 2 Peter 1 verse 3. You see, when we open the word of God, we learn how to become a Christian, how to live as a Christian, and how to die as a Christian. This word has been revealed by the Holy Spirit. It has been confirmed by miracles. Therefore, it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. You see, doctrine teaches us what is right. Reproof teaches us what is not right. Correction teaches us how to get right. And instruction in righteousness teaches us how to stay right with God. Give me the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. You see, we're not commissioned to preach a new gospel. That's why we don't need miraculous confirmation. Our commission is to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Jude verse 3. I don't need a miracle to confirm that what I'm saying is from God. I need a book, chapter, and verse. And so why do we believe that miracles have ceased? Because their fulfillment, because their purpose has already been fulfilled. Jesus' identity has already been confirmed. As Nicodemus said, we know that thou art a teacher from God. For no man could do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. We know that miracles have ceased because the word of God has been completely revealed. Nothing is lacking. Everything that we need to know can be found in the scriptures. And God says, you don't add nor take away from my word, as we see in Revelation 22, 18 and 19. Do you see how understanding the purpose of miracles can lead you to the conclusion that miracles have ceased? Another evidence that miracles have ceased is found in the fact that not everyone who worked miracles had that ability to transmit that power. You see, it was only through the laying on of the apostles' hands that that power could be passed on, according to Acts chapter 8, verse 17. And there are no more apostles alive today. But somebody might say, what about Holy Spirit baptism? Like we see with Cornelius and the apostles. Couldn't someone receive the miraculous gifts through the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, first of all, remember the purpose of miracles has already been fulfilled. We see that they prove the divine identity of Jesus, They confirm that this was the message of God. But secondly, consider Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. Paul says there is only one baptism. And all we have to do is keep that in its context. And we continue to read and we see in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, it's not Holy Spirit baptism, it's water baptism. Despite everything that we said this morning, I know that there will still be those who contend that the Lord works miraculously today. To those who still contend that miracles exist today, I would challenge you to find the miracle worker who can walk on water. I would challenge you to find the miracle worker who can heal obvious injuries instantly. Show me a man that can strike a false teacher blind. Show me a man that can raise somebody from the dead. Don't allow the many false teachers that have gone out into the world to deceive you. You remember the Apostle John tells us that we are to try the spirits. We're to test them to see whether they are of God. And as you consider everything that we presented this morning from God's Word, we can conclude that miracles have ceased. They have fulfilled their purpose. And as we notice from these examples, Bible miracles are very obvious and undeniable, and there is absolutely nothing like them being done today. We don't have to be a miracle worker to go to heaven, but we have to be a Christian. And if we're going to be a Christian, as Brother John mentioned last night, we must be born again. We must turn to God's Word, and we must allow God through His Word to teach us what we must do to be saved. If we're going to be saved, if we're going to go to heaven, we must first hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. How Jesus Christ died for our sins. How He was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. We must unite that with faith. We must believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins. We must believe that He was buried and rose again. And it's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead that raises us from the deadness of sin, as we see in Ephesians chapter 1 and 2, when we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, the gospel of Jesus Christ is God's power unto salvation, Romans 1, verse 16. That's why Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It doesn't matter who you are. You need God. You need the gospel. And as we said, the Holy Spirit guided the apostles into all truth. And we have all truth. And it's that truth that can set us free, John 8, verse 32. But we know that the Bible is the Word of God because not only did these men proclaim divine truths, what they said was backed up. What was said was confirmed by the miracles. Why do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Because of the miracles that He performed. Why do you believe that this is the Word of God? Because of the confirmation of the miracles. You can believe this book. You can unite it with faith. You can repent of your sins as the Bible teaches. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. You can confess Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and He will confess you before His Father. But we must be baptized into Jesus Christ. If we're going to reenact the death, burial, and resurrection, if we're going to contact the precious blood of Jesus Christ, we must be baptized. We're not talking about baptism alone. We're not talking about faith alone or repentance alone or confession alone. It's a culmination of these things. But it's at the point of baptism. I hope I'm not getting your lesson. But it's a point of baptism that all of this is made possible. It's at this point that our sins are washed away and that we become a child of God. No, you don't have to be a miracle worker to go to heaven, but you have to become a Christian. And we must turn to God's Word in order to become a Christian. And we must do those things that are commanded. I thank you for your kind attention this morning.